For goodness sakes. Oh my goodness. Goodness gracious. So if you go online and Google, you're a good man, what do you think the first thing is that shows up?
Charlie Brown.
Now I'm thinking, is that the standard of a good man for our generation? I thought, my word, that's incredible. Last August, a young man came into the tax office. He had a letter from the IRS, and this is what you do in the office, he had a letter from the IRS saying that he owed $11,220. It got his attention. So I sat down, he had had his taxes done, not by me, but by one of our other offices, and so I pulled it up and looked at it. I said, okay, I'll take care of it, I'll put it, do an amended return and put it in front, it will be all right. And everything was fine. And then about 3 weeks ago, he came back and said, well, I went and got my taxes done in the same office. And he said, I talked to the tax person there and brought up the situation because I don't know what I did with the packet that you gave me. Well, it didn't catch his attention that much. And she had all the information right now. She could have done the return for him and sent it. But she said, you need to go back to him and ask him to do it. He's got all the information right there. I thought, he saw that. But anyway, so he comes back to me and asks me. So I said, okay, I'll do that. So I put all the information together, got all ready to go for him. And I just happened to be at the front desk this Monday. And the receptionist was complaining. She opens the door and she's got, we have all these waiting for people to pick up. And she says, why do we all have all these returns from 2022? And I said, well, that happens all the time because people haven't filed for 2 or 3 or 4 or 6 years. So she pulls it out, she opens it up, and by chance it happens to be this guy's return. He had he hadn't lost it, he forgot to pick it up. I miffed. For one thing, I hadn't charged him anything. I was a nice guy. I said, this is not a good situation. I'll do it for you, and I won't charge you anything, and you can come in. And he hadn't even picked it up. It was for some of you, they're tax people and have to do this. It was self-employment income that he had been given the forms reporting income when they did the return. They had put all the income there, but they hadn't delineated that it came off of those forms. So they thought he had a lot of income he hadn't reported. And then he had a couple small dividend and interest statements that he hadn't reported. I'm giving you too much detail. But anyway, it adds to the story. When it's all done, I did his amended return. He owed $115 rather than $11,220. Now, you can make a career out of that if you advertise that. You come in $11,000, I can get it something. Nothing special, just all. But I was miffed. I thought, why did you not pick it? Did I do it for free? You didn't pick it up. And then you asked, you have the audacity to come back and ask me to do it again. And so the receptionist is watching me. And I was very kind, I don't yell or anything like that. But she said, now we're going to see what a good man does. And I thought, that's an interesting word to use. If you had said, now you can see what a kind man does, I wouldn't know what the expectations were. Or a vengeful man. Or a petty man. Or a nice man. But she said, what would a good man do? So I've been mulling on that this week as I've been ready for goodness and speaking of goodness. How is that different from being a kind man, as we talked about last week, or being a vengeful man? I told you a couple weeks ago, the problem with preaching is oftentimes you're challenging that area during the week, and that's what happened. I'm thinking, so what do I do? The word goodness is a noun. It's only used four times in Scripture, in the New Testament. The word good, the adjective is used all over the place. The verb being good is used quite often, but the noun is used in a very limited, it's agathosune. It talks about a moral quality. We're going to look at the four times in which it's used. Turn with me to Romans chapter 15. And in verse 14, Paul writes, "And concerning you, my brethren," Romans 15:14. He says, "Concerning you, my brethren, I myself also am convinced that you are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge and able to admonish one another." He connects goodness and knowledge and admonition together. It's almost like the knowledge and admonition is a fulfillment or outgrowth of the goodness. Turn the myth with me to Ephesians. Ephesians 5:9. Ephesians 5:9 is talking about partakers, those who were formerly of darkness, but now you're of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. He pulls together goodness and righteousness and truth and kind of pulls them together as one concept. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 11. "To this end also we pray for you always, that our God will count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power." The calling, the worthiness of calling, is bringing us to a place of goodness, that worthy of our calling. The word goodness is found oftentimes in the Old Testament. Listen to this one. You all know this one. But Moses is up on the mountain, and he said, verse 14, Exodus 33. And he said, "My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest." And he said, "If your presence does not go with me, do not lead us from here." And he said, "For how then can it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not by your going with us, so that I and your people may be distinguished from all the people who are upon the face of the earth?" And he said, "The Lord said, I will also do this thing of which you have spoken, for you have found favor in my sight, and I have known you." Moses says, "I pray you show me your glory." And he said, God said, "I myself will make all of my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim in the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious to you, to whom I will be gracious, and will show compassion, whom I will show compassion. But you shall not see my face, for no man has seen my face." So, of all the attributes of God, when he tells Moses, "You're going to see me," he said, "I will cause my goodness to go before you." What does that mean? You remember in Luke chapter 18, Jesus complimented for being a good teacher. Now, when we think of a good teacher, somebody who has good content, good delivery, and is able to explain well, in this case, from the Word of God. And Jesus responded back, what did he say? "There is no one good except..." Why do you call me good? "There's no one good except God." The word good has a moral quality. It says moral and spiritual excellence. It's different than eating a good meal or seeing a good painting. Good in this Old Testament use, in this Greek use of it, talks about a spiritual and moral excellence. Remember in Romans, Romans 5 says, let me see if I can find it here. Verse 7. So let me start up with verse 6. For while we are still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's the idea of having a moral quality. Sometimes we think of it in the sense of, you know, a good man, you're nice and you're acceptable. And that. But this word has a moral quality to it. W. Vine says, God is essentially, absolutely, and consummately good. So our goodness is an outgrowth of who he is, of his character. The closer we become to him, the more godly we become, the more Christ-like we become, and the more goodness becomes a part, an underpinning of our character. And as we live in conformity with God's revealed moral standards and apply them, true goodness can be seen in our life. Sometimes I think we don't see good as a very strong word. But the biblical word is a very strong word. Trench does this. He contrasts kindness, which we talked about last week, and goodness. Both of them have a moral quality to them. But he said kindness is a kinder aspect of goodness. And goodness is a sterner quality by which doing good to others is not necessarily by gentle means. So kindness is taking the quality of the moral quality and responding kindly. So with this young man, if I respond kindly, and I will, but if I do kindness, I would say, okay, you know, I'm sorry that this happened, it's yours, take it. But if I'm a good man, and being kind is nothing wrong with that, it's a wonderful thing. But if I'm looking at the quality of goodness, it carries with it the aspect of righteousness, of admonition, of a sterner part of the same reaction. Jerry Vernon McGee uses the word firm. It's part of a firm response. And can have a contrasting view. And Trent uses the illustration of Jesus with the penitent woman. And he's kinder and he embraces her and shows love and all of that. And you look at that and there's a goodness that's there, but it's a kindly aspect. He contrasts that to God's goodness and Christ's goodness, which comes out in everything he did. But when you have the cleansing of the temple, or his reaction to the scribes and Pharisees. And so you look at that and you say, okay, that's a good response. It's upholding a moral standard and speaking the truth in love, very much speaking the truth in love, but it's a firm, in some sense, a stern reaction. So when he talks about one of the fruit of the Spirit being goodness, part of it is looking at that and saying, what is our response? So in this case, what is my response? I don't think the guy's a believer. He has no sense of Christianity for all I know. I just met him twice. But my response, how does it become an expression of God's goodness that has been growing out in, hopefully, in my life, as I've gone through life? I think there's just a couple of things that will help us in terms of our expression of goodness and becoming good. Part of it is just coming to know God and becoming aware of his goodness and his goodness to us. And his embracing us and at times his admonishing us. at times we need to sit back and have correction. We can be getting that from brothers and sisters. We can get that from reading the Word of God. But the goodness becomes a part of our life. A couple things I think we need to remember. One is we need to value and practice God's moral standards. That going through life is not whatever makes me feel good and whatever I think God leads me to do, because what I think God leads me to do may not be what He's really leading me to do. But to say there's good and there's bad and there's moral standards and God wants me to follow those. That there are absolutes. A second thing is to earn the right. Did you catch that? To earn the right to speak into the lives of other people. Kindness, gentleness, love, joy. We need to be careful, because this doesn't give me the license to anybody I happen to hear that says something I think they need to be rebuked about. See, I go in and rebuke them. Doesn't give me that right. And so the whole context of the fruit of the Spirit, that's why it's not the fruits of the Spirit, but it's a package. And every aspect of it needs to be in my interaction as I deal with people. And sometimes I need to speak truth and love. Sometimes I need to speak levels of goodness where they may need to hear things that they don't want to hear. The sterner, the firmer, the admonition, the correction. But in order to do that, we need to earn the right to speak into their lives. Then we need to be willing to speak the truth in love, to be able to admonish. Believers are to conduct themselves so as a witness to the power of God to produce a moral change in a person's character and lifestyle. And that God, as we demonstrate goodness in our lives, it needs to be first be a part of our life, and then as we help other people in that area, that we need to be able to, are willing to speak the truth in love. And sometimes to say the harder things, the difficult things. So back to my dilemma, how am I going to be a good man with this man? First thing, I'm going to charge him for his return. Because sometimes you think you value what you pay for, and you think if it's free, it's not worth much. So I've already done that. I've slapped a little fee on his return to get his attention. And I think I saw him on my schedule, so I think I'll sit down and talk to him. And I'll bring some humor in. You really don't want to end up in jail, and we're going to try to keep you from ending up in prison. And don't count on the fact that half the IRS has been fired. They still have you on their docket. They're still going to come after you. And I wouldn't be surprised if since August he hasn't received a couple letters from them. Not that they're best friends, but they've probably received a couple letters from them. But I'll talk to him about the need to be responsible. That you can't get a letter from the IRS and just brush it off. And ask me to do something and then not even follow. $11,000, it's a lot of money. Especially for a 20-year-old, or he's probably 25 or 30, I don't know, but he looks to be 25. So to look at sensing a responsibility, and I'm gonna gently say that, but buddy, you've gotta listen. You can't ignore things like letters from the IRS, and I have people who have ignored not that many. So I'll have a chance, but I'm going to speak goodness to his life in terms of helping him to understand that you can't look lightly. You have to be a responsible person in your life. Or you might end up in prison. That's part of goodness. That's part of being able to take the time, earn the right to speak into people's lives. And that's what he's asking us to do. Goodness is not just being a nice person. It's not just being kind. It's not just being, whatever you want to do. It's a time stepping back and saying, here's something you probably should hear. You might not want to hear, but here's something you should hear. Father, we thank you. as we think of your goodness, we thank you that you're the ultimate expression and the ultimate standard of goodness. We thank you that you have called us to that. It's not one of the ones we would more readily jump at, though some people I know are inclined to be that way. But to help us understand the standards that you set up, and to help people as they live to see that as an opportunity to grow. Give us wisdom even in this area. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.